I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing. I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty. My cupboard's bare. Call me illogical. I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. The number to call to be part of the program, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Ton, I'm just trying to learn to embrace winter.
Oh, man. This is where we need to be doing the show from San Diego. For the next 6 months.
Because you can grow anything there, right?
Yes.
Perfect climate. They get enough. Well, I don't know if they get enough humidity anymore. They used to get some, but at least the temperatures stay kind of moderate all year round.
They do. In the winter, mid-60s to low 70s every day. I'm. We'll have to talk to Kevin about a San Diego version of the greenhouse.
I would miss the mountains, though, you know.
Yeah.
But it's always tough for me to prepare for winter. I just love growing things, right? So this year I'm trying some new things, but I'm not feeling very successful at this moment. I've been started propagating some succulents, and I've learned that you need patience, which I don't have a whole lot of.
Yeah, what method have you been using?
Well, I started with the dry method. I didn't start with the water method, but I'm thinking in Utah, since we are such a dry climate, that might have been a mistake, and I might have to reverse my course on that and try some other experiments with water. I've just seen so many different ways to do it, and they make it sound so easy on YouTube. So, you know, I'm going to give you the real facts when we start actually seeing anything. If we see anything, I'll let you know.
Okay.
So, but it's my way of getting through winter. I decided to try to do some fun things with plants indoors without having the whole house be overtaken, because I've done that before, and my husband doesn't like that too much.
Well, it's so easy to become a plant hoarder, you know, especially during the winter when you need that greenery and the house is the only place you can do it.
I could be accused of that, I'm afraid. Only problem is it's a lot messier in your house, and if you have a finished basement, it becomes problematic.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, there's a lot of research out there showing that when you're exposed to plants, it reduces stress and can make your day go a little bit better. So yep. It's not all bad.
I think it's saved me a lot in therapy. Let's put it that way. Let's start the morning, though. We have for our plant of the week, the Blue Princess Holly. Tell us about that.
Well, there's actually a whole series of what are called Blue Hollies or Meserve Hollies. And mm-hmm. They're a hybrid between English holly and an American species. And the reason I wanted to talk about these is Christmas is getting a little bit closer. And so these have that Christmas look, but they're one of the only groups of hollies that actually do well in Utah.
Okay. And where do they need to be planted to do well?
North side of the home or the east side of the home. They're broad-leafed evergreens, and so they don't like that winter sun. And what happens in northern Utah when you put broad-leafed evergreens in too much sun is that the sun heats up the leaves excessively, and then they start evaporating water.
Mm-hmm.
And the roots are frozen oftentimes, and they can't get a lot up out of the soil And so those leaves will scorch.
Right.
And so if you put them on the north and east side of your home, that afternoon shade helps protect them. And then it may keep them out of the wind and things too.
Right. My mom has holly in her yard, and it is on the north side of her home. I don't have any idea what variety it is. It is kind of pokey, though. You have to be aware
where
you put those, right?
There are some that are a little more pokey than others. I've lived in the south where holly is one of the main landscape plants, and there are several species. And some of them will draw blood, but these blue hollies can be a little scratchy, but if you brush up against them, you know, the worst that's going to happen is you might get a little, you know, minor scratch or something. And so if you throw a football into them or something, I don't fear them too much as compared to many hollies.
Yeah, it is one of those things you want to think about where you're going to place them, though.
You do. And so you don't want to put them in a 3-foot walkway, because they'll look cute for 4 or 5 years and then they overgrow.
Mm-hmm.
You can trim them for a while, but eventually, you know, it's one of those things that you really need to be careful. But because of their bluish color and the fact that they're a holly, and if you plant a boyfriend for this one, a blue prince holly, you will get berries on there. And so you've got something that we consider a traditional Christmas plant as a landscape plant, and they're quite pretty.
Right. So what kind of water does the holly need?
An average amount. So once they're established, they would be fine in a shaded area, deep watered every 7 to 10 days. So that's water penetrating the soil at least a foot deep. When you're getting them established, they're going to need to be watered 2 to 3 times a week to the bottom of the root ball until, you know, after about 2 years or so, and they really start to get their roots out there. They're a little slow growing, but otherwise are not particularly hard to grow plants.
Mm-hmm. And do they have the shiny leaves like other varieties?
They do.
They're very beautiful.
They're very pretty. And so you can use them for winter wreaths. I've known some people that do floral displays, and they try to source things locally. And so these blue hollies, if you have enough of them, can be a source for foliage, for flower displays, and for wreaths.
Right. Last year when we did our cranberry video with ideas for cranberries, I did use some holly. And I don't remember, like I said, that's the kind from my mom. Sure, I don't have a clue what type of holly that is. But they are beautiful to use in all sorts of indoor projects as well.
They are. And since because they're so unique here, people don't expect to be able to grow hollies. And it's usually folks from out of state that, when they find out that there might be something that reminds them of home, will plant them. But if you need broadleaf evergreen plants for those who enjoy, you know, having variety in the yard and having something unique, this is one that isn't very sensitive, not particularly hard to take care of, that really hardly anybody else in your neighborhood will have. And if you're a horticulturist, it'll give you some bragging rights.
We like a little bit of bragging
yes.
rights. I'm not a horticulturist, but, you know, I like to plant some beautiful things in my yard.
Well, you are what we would call a hobby horticulturist, Maria.
That's
because
exactly.
You have serious interest in a lot of different things, even though maybe, you know, your education and background is broadcasting. There are many astute hobby horticulturists, very accomplished, that in a lot of areas, you know, the iris folks or there's some daylily folks and things that are just very, very knowledgeable with what they do.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to be that in succulents, but I'm learning that while I love them, I may not love propagating them.
Well, that might be something we could talk about, but if you have your cuttings, you can, instead of doing the dry method, put a clear plastic bag,
mm-hmm.
over the top of the container with the soil.
Right.
And keep it fairly moist. And then you can put some holes in the plastic bag for air circulation, but that will increase the humidity inside and make water loss less of a problem. And it may be a little easier for those succulents to root out.
You know, it's so funny. All of the advice you hear is that the best way to kill a succulent is with too much water. But they never tell you how much water they really need.
Well, the other thing that you may want to try doing is propagating them in a cactus mix, because they like that well-drained soil.
Mm-hmm.
But a cactus mix will hold enough water. But if you put a cover over the top, then the humidity will be up. And so the overwatering becomes far less of an issue in a sharply drained potting soil, and you can still have the humidity up and hopefully root them out.
Okay, this is going to give you way too much insight into my personality, but I have now taken a tray of my succulents that I'm propagating, and I put them in my bathroom because I believe there will be a lot more humidity in my bathroom.
No, that's awesome.
Well, I'm not sure that my husband would agree with you on that one. Thank you so much for joining us this morning for the KSL Greenhouse Show. You can join the conversation. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for spending your Saturday with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Our first listener wants to know, Ton, is it too late to spray the cherry tree for disease, and what would they use again?
Well, they're trying to spray for a disease called shot hole fungus, or another name for it's Carinium blight, and it should have been sprayed a few days ago, but as long as temperatures are above about 38 to 40, they would still get some value out of spraying because this particular fungus can infect new cells as long as temperatures, I don't know the exact one, but it's around 37 mm-hmm. or 38 degrees.
Okay, the next listener says they've planted three new hibiscus this year. What do they need to do for winter preparation? Can they prune them now, or do they need to wait for spring?
Well, it's a little difficult because hibiscus are, we have perennial hibiscus and then Rose of Sharon, and not knowing which one, so on the, we'll just talk
so
about
So maybe
both.
They could, yeah, tell us about both.
The perennial hibiscus will die back. It should have died back with the last hard frost. And so you just cut it a couple of inches above the ground. And they're extremely late to come out in the spring. Oftentimes it's late May. But they come out and they grow fast. Within a month, they'll be up to 2 or 3 feet tall once they're established. So those just need to be cut back. The Rose of Sharon hibiscus is the shrub, and just leave it alone. If you don't get a lot of rain, then you will need to water it in until the ground freezes so that it has ground moisture. But that may only need to happen every 2 or 3 weeks, but no pruning. We're still having to have interventions with people on their pruners. And just
I knew the answer to the question.
Yes.
I was going to let you answer.
Yes. And so dead and diseased wood can come out at any time, but otherwise, unless something is a danger, so it's, you know, safety hazard, or like very few instances, like on tea roses, if you need to cut them back a little bit to keep them from splitting in the snow, that's another exception, but we need to put the pruners away.
This next person thinks a lot like me. They want to know if it's too late to plant pansies for the spring.
No, it's not. It's going to be cold. But as, and they may need
well, unless
to,
you get out right now.
Yeah, unless you get out now. And those pansies, if they've been greenhouse grown, may need to be hardened. A lot of garden centers have them outside already. But no, it's not too late.
And I love to see those little blooms in the winter when all the snow is not as melted. So, yeah, I would do that if it was me. This morning we have Nancy in South Jordan. Good morning, Nancy. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning.
What is your question?
Are you there?
Yes, good morning.
I can't hear you. Are you there?
Yes, Nancy. We apparently are having a problem with Nancy. Can you hear us, Nancy? Okay, let's get back to Nancy, and let's put her on hold and try to figure out what the problem is there and go to Ron in Mill Creek. Good morning, Ron.
Carol, you're having a problem with Nancy. Can you hear us, Nancy?
Okay, Ron, I need you to turn down your radio. Make sure we're on hold this and call. Try to figure out what Otherwise, you're hearing what's playing back on the radio at the
same
time.
Good morning, Ron.
Let me turn my radio off just a moment.
Okay.
There. Now, can you hear me?
There we go. Good morning, Ron. Okay, how can we help you this morning?
Well, anyway, I have to figure out how to get to you. I've cut my lawn 3.5-4 inches long the last few months, and I like that quite a bit, although it was really hard transitioning to the long because it looked funny. But now, do I need to cut it down short for winter?
Yes, and I would do it this morning before we get rain and snow. You want
to cut it down. Out and do leaves right now.
Yeah, you want to cut it down to about 1.5 inches.
That low?
Yeah, the reason is if it's up at 3 or 4 inches, it'll lay over, and it gets has potential to get a disease called snow mold, and that snow mold thrives in low oxygen environments, and so the snow helps out already, but if that grass lays over, it just makes things worse. So, yeah, the leaves come off and cut short.
But, yeah, you definitely suggest the 3.5 to 4 inches in the
during the growing season. Yeah, and then 4 inches, that's being pretty Spartan on making sure your lawn's drought hardy. We usually recommend about 2.5 to 3, but 4, if it looks fine for you, is even better.
Well, you guys kept saying do the top setting on the lawnmower.
Well, and that's generally around 3 inches. I don't know every lawnmower, unfortunately.
I
wish I had time to go to my wife would kill me if I just spent my days looking at lawnmowers, which I'd actually sometimes enjoy.
You might enjoy that, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. I would.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will go out and get it cut short this morning.
All right, Ron. Thanks for your call this morning. Let's see if we have solved our connection issue with Nancy. Let's go back to her. Good morning, Nancy. Can you hear us now?
Hello, yes.
Go ahead, Nancy. What is your question?
About 5 years ago, I planted a really beautiful calla lily. It was in a 6-inch pot and had purple blossoms on it, and it did really well. And in the fall, I cut it down, and the next year, it didn't come back at all. There was nothing. So I just planted some annuals where it had been, and the following year, it came back. It was about 12 inches around and 12 inches high, but it never got a flower on it. And the next year, it came back, and it was about 18 inches around and about 18 or 20 inches tall, and it never got a flower on it. And this year, it came back, and it was about, oh, maybe 6 or 8 inches around and maybe 10 inches tall and never had a flower on it. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, you may be doing nothing wrong, and it's just the fact that calla lilies are kind of hardy here, and that's only some. And so because they're more of a Zone 7 plant, I'm actually impressed that you've got yours to overwinter.
Me too.
For
I've given up
years
on them.
Running.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're not getting flowers is not a surprise to me. And the best you can do is just fertilize them lightly in the spring and just go from there.
Okay, now I cut them all the way back in the fall. Is that something that I'm supposed to do?
When you cut them back, is the foliage dead?
Kind of so-so.
And you could leave it alone until spring just to see what happens, but I don't know that that's going to be a factor determining. Because they're perennial plants and not a woody plant,
right.
That shouldn't be a factor determining whether it blooms or not.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Nancy, thanks so much for your call this morning. And, Todd, I am wondering, though, how do you successfully plant calla lilies here in the state?
Well, the indoor callas are going to be the easiest, but outdoor callas are usually available as a bulb that you would plant in the spring. And then the hardy varieties are hardy down to maybe around 0 to 10 above.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have protected spots, they sometimes will overwinter like this. and then sometimes flower, but they're one of those. It's kind of like trying to grow cold hardy rosemary that you really need the right spot. And if you have that, then the rosemary will sometimes do wonderfully and sometimes struggle. Yeah. And it's just that the callas, if we were up in Portland or maybe even Boise, to where they're just not quite as cold, I think you'd have more success.
Right. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Like I said, Ton, I've given up. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.